You're listening to Coffee Talk with Father Brad.
Always had this question after reading this piece of the Acts of the Apostles, where Luke, the author of the Acts of the Apostles, he recounts the apostles speaking in tongues. Always had this question, why don't we see this commonly anymore? You might have asked this question. And I did research, I looked at church fathers, an ancient homily from a North African priest, actually, in early church, and here are some of the answers. Well, one, that this spiritual reality still does exist, actually. Some people have certain gifts based on the needs of the world and the spreading of the gospel of salvation in their own time period. God gives us gifts when we need it. And there are some who miraculously receive the ability to literally speak other languages that they do not naturally know in order to bring others to Christ. This is true. It happens. It might not be as pervasive as the early church, but that's because the early church needed it. It's young. There was only 10 apostles. The church was small. And we had to go convert the world. But after 2,000 years, we have time to be able to do what? Translate the Bible to different languages, correct? Translate the Mass to different languages. Right? When the church began, what were we saying Mass in? Nope. Good guess. Because that came a little later. Aramaic. Aramaic and Hebrew. Right? So where did the church come from? It came from the Middle East. Then Paul and Peter got to Rome, and eventually the Mass was said in Latin. And eventually we were able to say it in every different language. So we don't need that supernatural grace. I did some research, actually, in the Diocese of Brooklyn. Okay, the Diocese of Brooklyn is often seen as the most diverse diocese in our country. Every weekend, throughout the week, every week, the Mass is said in 33 different languages. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. I was on their website and I saw their schedule for their TV station and their online streaming schedule of the Mass, what languages on a Sunday. This is their co-cathedral of St. Joseph. At 8 a.m., Mass is said in Korean. At 9 a.m., Mass is said in Creole. At 10 a.m., Italian. At 11 a.m., English. At 12 p.m., Polish. At 1:30 p.m., Spanish. At 3 p.m., the Mass is said in Mandarin. And at 4 p.m., it's said in Igbo, which is a dialect of Nigeria. That's one Sunday. The church is speaking in tongues, the tongues of all people. We've just had time and the interest and the energy of learning those tongues throughout the years. And then I was praying further about this fact, right, that, you know, God gives us a special grace of speaking in tongues, like a supernatural grace, and then he gives us the grace of translating the Bible and the gospel into different languages. And I thought to myself, well, why does he make us do that or have us do that? Why not just give us all, like we're confirmed and like at confirmation, we're able to like just speak and everyone understands us? Why not? Wouldn't it make it easier? Right? You get to go travel in Europe and you wouldn't have to like, you know, bring a little book. Like, ¿dónde está baño? Like we would just speak all these different languages, right? Why? I think it's this. I think our willingness to meet people where they're at, in their culture, in their language, is more Christian than having the special grace to not have to try, to not have to work, to not have to translate. It's more Christian. I believe it's partly to give the evangelists, myself and you who are out in the world, the opportunity to live the gospel, particularly by humbling ourselves and learning a language, meeting somewhere where they're at. Here's the scripture from Philippians. Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but instead humbled himself, taking the form of a slave. Why are the bells ringing? I know, but like, what time is it? It's like 11, it's 10:25. Like, what is going on? You want to go hit them, or they'll go off soon? Okay, cool. Oh, that's fine. See, Jeremy, this is what you have to deal with, okay? As a priest, you just got to roll right through, okay? This is our seminarian. Welcome our seminarian, Jeremy. Okay, he'll introduce himself later. And there we go. And they're gone. Thank you. Okay, so look, Philippians. Paul says, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but instead humbled himself, taking the form of a slave. Right, if someone moves into our neighborhood or into our church community and they only speak Spanish, yeah, it would be easier to have the supernatural grace to speak our language and have them understand, like the early church needed. But wouldn't it be more Christian and more Christ-like to say, you know what, I'm going to learn how to say hello in Spanish. I'm going to learn the Mass. I'm going to learn how to do it. Most people will not experience a supernatural miracle of speaking in tongues or understanding another foreign speech as their own. But this does not mean that most people will not speak in tongues. We are all called to speak in tongues. We are called to speak the gospel of Jesus in the particular tongues of the world and the people we encounter. Right? People speak different language. I'm not talking about languages anymore. I'm talking about their cultural understanding. There's a guy named Jonathan Blevins. He's a Twitch streamer. You know what a Twitch streamer is? You know what Twitch is? Raise your hand if you know what Twitch is. Okay, now Deacon does because he came to that first Mass this morning. And there's a couple middle schoolers, maybe some high schoolers that know what Twitch is. Okay, Twitch is an online platform in which it started as gamers, video game players. Professional video game players would stream. They'd have a camera on themselves, looking at themselves, and people would watch them playing video games. I know, you're like, all the older people are like, oh, rolling their eyes. It's actually kind of fun. I watch my friend Jonathan all the time. But you know what Jonathan does? He's a youth minister, high school youth minister. He got a Twitch account. He got really good at Fortnite. And he started streaming. And then he started leading Bible studies on the internet through his Twitch stream. You know what that's called? Speaking in tongues. Meeting the people he's supposed to minister to where they're at in their situation. You know, whatever your situation is, who you're called to minister to, where are they at? Speak their language and call them to the truth and be prophetic, whether that be your text message, right? Group chats, whether it be your friend group, your people at work. How are they speaking? And meet them there and evangelize. That's speaking in tongues. The apostles could have remained comfortable in their room. They could have avoided death. 10 of the 11, right? Because Judas was not there. He committed suicide. 10 of the 11, the remaining 11, eventually died. They could have played it safe. But the world needed the gospel. Right? Why do we need to speak the tongues of the world in the world? Why can't we just sit in here and worship and then go out there and not talk about the gospel and not evangelize, not bring the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's because the church or the world without the church, without being guided by the Holy Spirit, is just a continuation of the effects of Babel. Division between all people. We are depraved without God. We are prone to destroy each other. We have this idea, modern man has this idea, we don't need God, we can be nice to each other. Right? We can love each other. This came out recently in the quarantine. All these celebrities decided to you know, do a song. John Lennon, imagine all the people living life the something. I hate that song. You know why? Because it was a utopian, misguided, unrealistic understanding of the human person. We don't need religion or God. We can love each other. That's what John Lennon thought. He was wrong. We need God. And without God, we will kill each other. It's true. We know it in ancient times, right? The Greeks and Romans, we think of them as, you know, smart, philosophical, civilized, great government. We model our government off of it. You know what the Romans would do with their children that they didn't want? You know, now we have abortion, but they didn't have that technology. So it was common practice. You don't want your child, you'd have a child, then you'd leave them in the woods for the wolves. It's true. Look it up. It's called exposure. It's a common practice. And it didn't stop in Rome until when? Until Christianity became the official religion. Until the Holy Spirit changed the hearts of people. Again, I'll keep going with Rome, right? What would they do for fun? They wanted to have fun. They wanted to bring everyone together. They didn't go to the football stadium. They went to the Colosseum, in which they just watched people tear each other to pieces, gladiators stabbing each other, Christians and other people that they didn't really care about being eaten by lions and tigers. And they cheered. That is humanity without God. Without God, we kneel on the neck of a man begging for his life, calling out to his mother, "Mama, I can't breathe." And we just watch and film and we don't do anything. That's us without God. Without God, we don't know how to respond to that. We burn down our cities. We destroy our own businesses. Because we don't have God. Jesus walked into the upper room, and what did he say? Peace be with you. Do you want peace? Humanity needs peace, and it will get it with the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to walk out of here, not blaming people, not taking sides, not posting Facebook meme propaganda. That's not going to do it. You know what you need to do? Love the people in front of you. Speak in the tongues of the world, of the community that's in front of you. A friend of mine, Ed Condon, said it perfectly the other day on his podcast. Listen to his podcast. He said, "You will either be willing to die for your neighbor, or you will be killing your neighbor. There's nothing in between." I truly believe that. Either willing to die for him, or willing to kill him. If when you look at the world and hear the news and you see the smoke rising from our nation burning, if you want to cry or yell, or what I've felt in the past couple days, vomit. I've literally wanted to vomit. If that's how you respond, that's how you feel, good. That's how you should feel. Because that's what life without grace and the Holy Spirit is like. And that's hell. And it put things in perspective. This, the Eucharist, the sacraments, the Holy Spirit, is the only thing that matters, and the world needs it, and it needs it pretty badly. Are you willing to leave this building like the apostles left the upper room, and eventually die in the process of spreading that gospel and the peace, as Jesus said, of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what Pentecost is.